Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
And welcome back to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast, episode number 100. Wow, there was only supposed to be one show, and here we are at 100. Amazing. As always, we are focusing on the volunteer state and our nation today with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, Amy Souza. Wouldn't want anyone else for number 100. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts and socials at Mill Creek View, Tennessee, Washington, and very soon Florida, and the CEO Special, where I interview the best CEOs doing good business. More about those later. While you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any of these great contents we're providing with awesome guests and a new MillCreekViewOnline.com edition out today, June A. June B in 2 weeks. Of course, everyday mcview.us. With Columbia, Tennessee-based EnergizeHealth.com, you lose fat fast, simply, and naturally without restrictive exercise or cardboard, dry, tasteless food. Revolutionize your health with this proprietary 88-day science from John and Chelsea Jubilee. People report getting off medications and reversing ailments. Energy, mental clarity, and alertness go through the roof, look and feel many years younger and oftentimes unrecognizable. I know, I'm an alumnus and lost 70 pounds of fat with John and Chelsea and wouldn't have energy to do 3 shows a week without it. Hit the link in show notes for your free consultation and discount, money back guarantee so you have nothing to lose but unhealthy fat. EnergizedHealth.com. And welcome to our People in News episode where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today we are talking with Amy E. Souza. Amy Souza, MA, Depth Psychology, and 20-year theater educator, education director, graduate studies in phenomenology, depth psychology, postgraduate studies in somatic trainings, eco-psychology, imaginal practices, depth psychology. I'm already out of my league. I can't even read this. Left doctoral work as an ABD, engaged embodiment expert, embodiment boundaries, somatic development, using theater and depth psychology for intuition, imagination, inner authority building. This is a channel associated with her Twitter account, at Known Heretic. The purpose of this channel is to be critique the hierarchy of culturally prescribed gender roles onto sex bodies and onto the neutral language we use to describe sex bodies. Don't worry, folks. There's no test. She'll explain all this soon. The material psychological development path towards small, mobile, or large immobile gamets that comes with functions and sensations. Gender, the cultural codes of stereotypical behavior that are associated and projected onto male or female sex bodies. Notice there's two. Embodied awareness expert, teaching practical skills for somatic development, intuition, instincts, sense perception, boundaries, integrity, inner authority, 2 courses, intuition, imagination, and internal authority, a new course offering for women seeking practices to deepen intuition, women who run with the wolves. Oh my goodness.
Wow, Amy. Thank you. Yeah, that was quite an intro. I appreciate it.
I probably got it completely messed up, but how are you today?
I'm really great. Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be talking to you again.
It is good to talk to you again. And producer Steve is in the state of Washington. You are in the state of Washington. I am in Tennessee, but through the power of Zoom, we are together in the same spot once again. And I wore my Moonshine Harley Davidson t-shirt. We'll talk about that soon. So first off, tell us what I was reading. What is that background in a psychoanalytical sense that you do? And tell us about the successes of it.
Yeah, well, the gist of what you're getting into there is that we are born sensing beings. So sort of this is all a very long-winded way to talk about, you know, how we often hear the Descartesian view that we get taught in school, like, I think, therefore I am. But we are not actually born conceptualizing with our conceptualizing functions. You don't get born able to read or do abstract analysis or calculus or any any of those things. But what you are is you are born with a body that is sensing and already responding to your environment through your senses. So what I really mainly do is safeguarding work. And that safeguarding work is really how to connect with your body to be a tool of your own safeguarding. Every animal is born with a body that responds to the environment. Our bodies are designed to go towards nourishment and away from pleasure. You know, if you put your hand on a hot pan, you don't have to think, oh, what should I do now? My hand is in pain. You know, your body automatically responds and recoils from the pain. No conceptualizing function needed. Your body simply responds to the external stimulus. And our body is our source. It's a great source tool of awareness. So what I do is to really help remind people of that, usually women, but I help remind them of their tools of pattern recognition, the why it's so important that we stay in our sense perceptions of reality, and how to instill that and in your kids to help inoculate them from a lot of the ideologies that we are seeing in the world today. What we're seeing, of course, is an ideology which is teaching kids, you know, to trust what the stranger tells you about his identity before trusting your own instincts and your own sense perceptions and what your own eyes and ears are telling you. And a really simple little, a really simple way sort of wrapping that up in the bow is to use the example of Little Red Riding Hood, which we all know it's a tale of the Grimm brothers. It dates back to the 16th century. And of course, that tale is a cautionary tale about a little girl who goes through the process of meeting a charming stranger. And, you know, she goes through the process of meeting that wolf, and she's saying, you know, what big eyes you have, what big ears you have, what big teeth you have. And he's charming her, you know, he's saying, well, it's the better to hear you with and the better to see you with. And of course it ends with her getting eaten. But what we know from the tale is that her body was accurate. She was accurate in the first place. Her senses were telling her the accurate truth of the scenario in the first place. And the problem is that she wasn't trusting and listening to her own body as an authority. You know, that's the lesson, to listen to yourself. And it seems like we are sort of in a crisis situation in our culture where we really need to be reminded of that lesson. And I'm not the only one who is speaking about this. There's a great guy, Gavin DeBecker, who wrote The Gift of Fear. He works in FBI profiling. He works in celebrity stalking cases. But he talks about this all the time, that humans are the only animal that discount our own sense perceptions and our own intuitions and our own instincts when it comes to safeguarding. So that is, it's really, you know, it's a problem when it comes to like walking down a dark street at night. Of course, that can be a problem when you don't listen to your instincts, but it's just also a problem in your day-to-day life. So if you start believing an ideology that tells you that you have to believe that a man in a dress is really a woman, and the problem is when you're teaching this to young kids and they are being told to deny what their eyes and ears see. So, you know, they have teachers in their classrooms in a lot of states at this point, where they are saying, you know, like, you know, teacher so-and-so is a miss, or teacher so-and-so is a girl. And that teacher is saying, no, you know, I'm a boy, or I'm a they, them. Or the man is telling them, you know, no, I'm a miss. So they're literally being told by the adults around them that they cannot trust their own body as an authority on the world.
Is it fair to say that you're spending a lot of time, or a large percentage of your clientele, let's say, are actually having to unlearn what the culture and maybe the public schools have been teaching them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, people come to me because they're already upset about what is happening in the culture. But I think people want more tools to combat what is happening to themselves and to their kids, because of course there is a very pervasive, I don't know if you want to call it propaganda. I think it's a propaganda. I think that's pretty mild, a mild way of putting it, but you know, coming at them from the government, from our education system, it's in, you know, it's in their television shows, it's on social media. I mean, it's like in Blue's Clues. I mean, it's in programming for small kids.
More and more all the time. Yeah. My Little Pony. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us, before we get too deep into this, I don't want to lose everybody, I guess, if it gets too wonky, but how successful was your event with Riley Gaines and Kay Yang here in Nashville at the Moonshine Harley Davidson? How did that result?
First of all, that it was an amazing event. Thank you, Mill Creek, for being a sponsor of that event. We were so excited to have you come aboard, and we had so many great sponsors, including the International Women's Forum, for whom Riley is a spokeswoman, and Icons, and Gays Against Groomers, the ICSF as well came on as a sponsor. So we had a lot of great sponsors, but it was a really wonderful event. And of course, that event was called Women Holding the Line, Our Spaces, Our Sports. And it was so powerful. We were really lucky to have the Moonshine Harley Davidson host us. And we had our estimates were roughly 200, give or take. That's what a couple of the reporters who came gave us as their feedback. It was hard to count for me, but for us, that was a huge success. Our venue did hold a little bit more, but we were really happy to fill it with that amount of people. And we had a lot of great feedback. And of course, Riley has been so outspoken on women's sports, and we had a really unique connection, myself and Kay Yang did, with Riley. We had met her last year. We were all at the NCAA championships. Of course, Riley was competing in those championships. Mm-hmm. And Kay Yang and I were on the sidelines. We were partnering with an organization called Save Women's Sports that was headed by a wonderful woman named Beth Stelzer. And we were really there to represent women, our right to single-sex sports, our right to privacy in the locker rooms. I don't know if everyone knows that those women, those young women, were actually forced to share a locker room with a man against their will. So we were standing up and speaking out about that, and we got a lot of great feedback from parents. And of course, that really spurred Riley into becoming a spokeswoman for not just her sport, but for all women's sport.
And went on to testify before Congress just a week ago. When you have events, because that wasn't your only event, to get your story out, do you find people shocked, or do they feel they are hearing things they've already heard before, just all in one place? Obviously, the news is not going to be the main channel that they're going to get that information, but do you feel that they're aware of this, or are they shocked to hear it from you?
I think it's different for different audiences. Like Kay Yang and I had just previously done an event with an organization called Partners for Ethical Care in Texas. We had just sort of come from that event before we got to Tennessee. And I would say, for example, at that event, at the Partners for Ethical Care event, there were more people who were, like, particularly my audience and Kay Yang's audience, who were familiar specifically with our work already. So I think, you know, there we may have said a few new things, but I think a lot of people were familiar with the direction of our analysis and where it was going to take. But I do think it was really one of the really exciting things about speaking in Tennessee is that I felt like I was meeting people outside of my particular audience. And so it was, I think, really exciting and refreshing to share some of the background of what is happening on this issue that people might not yet have heard. I think people were familiar with Riley's story, for example, and I think they were familiar with a bit of what we were saying, but I do think Kay Yang and I, it was a really exciting opportunity to share some of the real background. You know, I was speaking very particularly about the impacts this has had for women, and I got to share some of the activism that has been happening around this that doesn't make the news. You know, we've been doing this activism for years. We've been posting it on our own channels amongst our own circles, and it's really hard to break through onto mainstream media with some of these stories, even when they've kind of blown up in the moment. It's hard to keep those stories going because obviously the left-wing media they are censoring. And I think
it's interesting that you would say left-wing media, because I don't think you started out as a Rock Rib Goldwater Republican, right? You've come along because of your experiences in the real world dealing with people on the left. Am I wrong?
You are correct. I mean, I think I actually still am technically a registered Democrat, but I was a lifelong.
There's no option in Washington, so of course, yeah.
Exactly. But I really was a never Biden. Biden promised during his candidacy that he was going to erect an executive order on quote unquote gender identity. For me, that was a hard no. A lot of my fellow good Democrat women and colleagues, they were arguing at the time that we had to continue to be to vote Dem because of the abortion issue. But for me, basically this executive order was going to, and did because it went through, was going to effectively erase sex as a protected category in current legislation. So it was going to erase the category of sex in Title IX, erase the category of sex in the Civil Rights Act. It replaces the language of sex with the undefinable, nebulous category of gender identity. So for me, this was a hard no. And of course, he put it through day one with no legislative process, no public feedback. Just that's the thing that they can do as executives. And
Pandora's box has been open ever since. You know, besides our opinions, Amy, you and I have something else in common. On August 11th last year, you were on a show, Dory Monson. That story was about the Port Townsend resident who was 80 years old, banned from the YMCA for calling out a transgender locker room attendant, helping little girls go to the restroom. That was you. And the story that bumped me off to Friday, that was, I think, a Tuesday to a Friday, which was my last day in Washington when I packed up and left the state forever, my dog and a final load of stuff to drive to Tennessee, because my daughter's private swim club opened their locker rooms to boys. I was on the Dory show literally 3 days after you, you Tuesday, me Friday. I did Ari Hoffman, Lars Larson, also trying to warn everyone about exactly what happened with 55.99 last month. Two questions. What do you think about 55.99 in your state, and whatever happened to the lady that was banned at the YMCA?
I'll talk to Julie first, and then I'll go to 55.99. Julie Jumon is, I held that press conference for her because she's a friend of mine, and because it was the right thing to do. But she is still banned from the YMCA. She is still fighting this. She's now, you know, she was 80 at the time. She's 81 and she's ever the activist. So she is continuing to fight locally. Both of us have spoken multiple times at our city council and she is continuing to push back. I think we're probably going to do an anniversary event for her here in town to celebrate that. And yeah, she really was a local hero for many. Of course, there was a lot of, I live in a very small liberal arts sort of captured town. So there was a lot of pushback. It was actually a little scary and dicey during the event because there was, we've had some prosecutions because there were women who were hassled and attacked and thrown around by men. I mean, these were largely 70, 80 year old women. I was one of the youngest women there. And we were surrounded by about 400 people. So wow. It was pretty dicey, but she did again, what any matriarch should do, which is she heard a man's voice in the locker room. She stood up to him. He, by his own words, in his own interview, he was touching those girls. He was helping them with their bathing suits after going to the bathroom. So this is wrong. I mean, to me, any thinking, caring, empathetic person knows that's a no-no. And this young man, had really even just, not that it matters, it doesn't matter how much these men are able to mimic and mask their secondary sex characteristics. I don't care how well they mask them, but also just weirdly, this man had only been in his process for about 3 months. So it just, it just makes no sense. And I really question the integrity of the entire staff who let that happen. And Julie did a really amazing thing by speaking out and
it was the staff that kicked her out and made the fuss and banned her and all the rest. I mean, the YMCA, you know, used to be the C stands for Christian. Young Men's Christian Association. So somewhere along the way, maybe around the time of the Village People, they lost their way. Now it's just the Y. And 6 months later, Dory was gone. Imagine what he'd be thinking now. He died on New Year's Eve, and I do miss him. Did you want to comment on 5599?
Yeah. So I did. I testified for 5599. I actually cited Sage's Law. I don't know if you are familiar with that law. It was created by a woman who is a grandmother of a girl who was claiming an opposite sex identity. But because of this, she ended up going into foster care without the knowledge of her guardians. She ended up being raped multiple times. She ended up being sex trafficked, and her guardians the whole time were not able to find out her location. The location was held from her. So now they have this, I believe, is in Virginia. They have erected Sage's Law to protect against exactly what 5599 is, to protect against parents and guardians having the location of their child withheld from them. Obviously, this is it's a terrible scenario, just in the sense of having the location of your child withheld from you. But of course, 5599, the implications also being that your child will be able to access mutilating healthcare. You know, I don't really even like to call it quote healthcare, because these treatments, these wrong, when you go on wrong sex hormones, there's just a list of complications that are irreversible. And they have access to these irreversible drugs and irreversible surgeries. And of course, now Washington is being touted as a safe haven state where kids may or may not cross state lines in order to access these surgeries. And I don't know if you've looked at the numbers of kids that are on GoFundMe trying to get these surgeries. It is up in the tens of thousands. Trying to access these surgeries and get funding for their personal surgeries.
It's an epidemic. I mean, we do keep very close tabs on Washington here. We're going to play this in the Washington market as well. Are you freaking out about all of the new laws, the guns, the betrayal of the parents' rights you're talking about, where kids can run away, get gender surgery, and parents aren't allowed to be notified? Legal drugs, including fentanyl, the number one killer of men ages 18 to 35. Police can't chase. I know they made an amendment to that, but they're not going to risk it because the city council doesn't have their back. You know, the Washington government is an enemy of the people.
Yeah. It's really sad because there are so many organizations and government entities that we would think were erected in order to protect citizens. But there is, you know, there's ultimately a lot of collusion going on with the government, with big tech, with corporate entities, with nonprofits, with big pharma. And we have to realize that the issue here is that there's an affirmation only policy in place. So it's not like, I don't agree with any of these procedures. I think of these kids as very similar to someone who might have body integrity disorder. And those, you know, when people have body integrity disorder that they want to go get a limb cut off, you know, we don't allow that for obvious reasons. We don't let people practice self-harm. That's why we have prohibitions against suicide. We don't let people practice self-harm. That's not right in a healthy society. You don't.
And Sweden did a very large study. I think it was upwards of 23 to 25% autism. So something's not right with the pool of candidates that they're looking at, but they're not diagnosing it as such. They're calling it body dysphoria or gender dysphoria. And you know, the parent law, tell me if I'm wrong, but what if it's kidnapping? You know this better than I do. Fastest growing market in the world is child trafficking, mostly girls. What if a cartel member forces the kid to lie and say they ran away because they wanted to change their sex? Police can't do anything, right?
Yeah.
In that state.
That's a really great observation and link because, yeah, I was actually just reading about trafficking today. 96% of trafficked humans are women and girls, and 25% of trafficked humans are kids. So it's really, it could happen here. The U.S. State Department, who cites the International Council, ICL, the International Council on Labor, they report that there are over 50 million trafficked human beings globally.
15 or 50?
50 million.
Oh my God.
So that is an insane number. And these kids are absolutely vulnerable to it. And that trafficking number is on the rise. It's risen every year. I've just been researching it since about 2018, but every year it's been going up. Previous to 2018, it was on the decline. And now it's on the rise. And a lot of these laws are absolutely impacting parents' ability to intervene on behalf of their kids. And
there must be just a lot of freaked out, terrible nights in Washington right now, and some other states. It's not the only one. I think Minnesota did this too. I tweeted out yesterday, literally, stop it. The Washington Examiner reported children's sex change chest reconstructions up nearly 400% in the United States. JAMA Pediatrics researchers from Vanderbilt University, who were forced to knock it off, reported on patients under 17 went from 116 to 489 in 2019. It's probably worse now, except they had to stop. But the average age was 17, but 5.5% were under 14. What are we doing, Amy?
Yeah, this is a huge problem. I'm actually writing about this right now, the glamorization of child genital mutilation. We act like we are a civilized, rational culture. We act like we are somehow above cultures like the Sudan or Malia or North African continents, countries where they practice female genital mutilation. We act like, you know, we're above that. We've banned FGM here. However, we do practice child genital mutilation. We do the same thing. And there's now even more and more surgeries. And the thing is, these are marketed. These are marketed to kids. They're marketed by doctors on TikTok. They are marketed on Instagram. They are literally marketed to kids, and not just through direct marketing, but also in glamorization through the music industry and the fashion industry and television. So these are
360 degree attack. Yeah, I've seen that TikTok doctor. She needs to be locked up.
Yeah, Gallagher, the butcher of Miami. But these surgeries, instead of evoking our empathetic response the way that FGM evokes an immediate empathetic response and a strong no, the glamorization of these surgeries and the way that they are being marketed to the public, it dissociates us from that response. And it basically, it connects these surgeries with celebrity and status. So that is how they are being marketed to these kids. And so instead of thinking, no, I don't want to practice self-harm, this self-harm is being sold to them.
Sure. The RuPaul's, the Laverne Cox, you know, that same study reported that anxiety and depression are the most common comorbidities among those minors. Do you think the drugs they give out, like M&Ms for anxiety and depression, could be a factor, especially with some of the violence we've seen from that side?
Yeah, there's absolutely all kinds of comorbidities. And, you know, the first comorbidity that any good therapist would ask a child who was dissociative from their own genitals is about sexual abuse and sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, if a child is dissociating from their genitals, if they hate their own genitals so much that they want them cut off, my first question is going to be, what is happening? What is there sexual abuse going on? Because there is no reason for a child to hate their own body. And the thing is, if you look at the ongoing ramifications of FGM, so the side effects, the impacts. So what side effects does a girl have in the Sudan who goes through FGM? Those same side effects are the exact same side effects that these kids who are undergoing genital mutilation here go through. They're the same side effects. So they have the same impacts. These surgeries are the same. And some of the surgeries here, we are now even doing nullification surgeries and eunuch surgeries. So there's all these mix and match surgeries. So even if you are not a, quote, trans boy or a trans girl, you might be non-binary, you might be agender, you might be nullogender, you might be, you know, there's all these new identities being created every
day. Certainly not follow the science. It's more like follow the money. Posy Parker, not the actress, which is confusing, but the British pro-woman activist, I think she's British. She said pronouns are the gateway drug. I saw something for the first time at your Harley event that we talked about in your video. I saw late teen, maybe early 20s, guys, for the most part, with maybe some augmented breasts, shirtless and sweaty. And all I could think of was that they were demons. Something was very wrong with them. In the Bible, demons refer to themselves as they, them, we, us. I could cite the Bible passages, Mark 5 and 16, Luke 11. Anyway, you've been attacked by these people. Are they possessed by demons? Are they demonic?
Well, I mean, that is one way of framing it. I think that is a pretty accurate way of framing it. They are not in themselves. They are not well. So I think to say that they are possessed, if to say that they are possessed is to say that they are not under their own cognizance, I think that is accurate, because they are To me, these are captured cult members. There's a great book by Stephen Hassan. He is one of the foremost experts on cults. He did a couple of spots on that Leah Remini documentary, and he himself is a former Children of God cult member.
About Scientology, I assume.
Leah Remini's is Scientology, but he talks about how cults don't always have a centralized leader. And he has a model called the BITE model, which is behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control. And the ideology, gender ideology, trans ideology, falls within that model of behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control. So to me, they are under a cult control. They are under the undue influence of a cult think that is interrupting their cognitive and intuitive instinctual processes.
And we know that a child or a human doesn't even formulate their frontal lobe until age 24, and we're talking about 14-year-old kids, so they're 20 years too soon for this, 10 years too soon. Go ahead.
Well, when you tell a little child, you know, this is happening to kids is early as preschool in some instances, but it's definitely happening in the public school where, again, they are being told you can't trust your own eyes and ears. Now, when we go through that language acquisition phase, when a 2-year-old is doing what they call like that point and say, like, you know, like, mommy, I see a bird, and the mom's like, yeah, honey, that's a bird, or they're like, daddy, tree, and you know, you as the dad are like, yeah, honey, that's a tree, that is a naming and claiming part of development. So that is learning that my body is an authority on the world around me. I can trust my body to tell me the truth about the world. So I see a tree, I say a tree, I know what is in front of me, and my body is giving me accurate information about what is in front of me. So I can trust my body as an authority as I move in the world. Now, these kids who are undergoing this pronoun treatment, they are ultimately being told, no, you cannot trust the authority of your body. You cannot trust your own eyes and ears as an authority on the world around you. Now, this creates an incredible vulnerability. This makes these kids vulnerable to future predation.
I wonder Nancy Pelosi wanted to reduce the voting age to 14.
It leaves them open and susceptible to cult thinks and ideologies to come into their head, because now they're dissociated from their own body. They feel that they can't trust their own body. I mean, that sex recognition instinct, that's an evolutionarily honed instinct that all animals have.
They're literally brainwashing them. No other definition but brainwash. Yeah.
Five instincts. You know, there's fight and flight, there's food recognition, there's sex recognition, and there's sex drive. These are the instincts. You know, there's only a couple of them. And so just to dissociate a whole class of kids from their own instincts, I mean, this is a mass abuse. This is barbaric.
Mass psychosis, yeah. So switching gears a little bit, as of at least July 2022, all the Fortune 100 companies, not the 500, but the top 100, have made a public commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. About 1/3 of S&P 500 companies have folded DEI metrics into their executive incentive plans. 2022, that was from 2022. So a research firm, Semler Brossi, reported that 28% of S&P 500 companies included DEI in executive compensation plans, which makes us understand why a Budweiser would do what they did, or why the Target did what they did. Mercer reported that it was 35% of the company, so almost a third. That was July of 22, probably even more now. I have a guy high up at a Fortune 100 company who's a friend that has to sit through DEI training 1 hour a day, every day. I keep asking if they run out of things to say, you know, how bad are you? Can you just get it over with and we can move on? But no, it's been going on a long time. It's scary because it's healthcare. If they discriminate in healthcare, like hospitals and drugs and the rest, science, are they going to refuse help to straight white males and let us die in the streets? Is that where we're headed?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, if there's a market to offer you
Perfect.
healthcare, they're going to offer you healthcare. I mean, Forbes magazine was reporting last year that that trans tech is the growing market. You know, they estimate that these surgeries alone are in the neighborhood of $200 billion as a market. And out leadership, which is out leadership is sort of a conglomerate, you know, out meaning out in terms of LGBT, but out leadership is kind of a conglomerate for a bunch of different corporations. And they help corporations invest and use LGBTQ plus terms in order to tap in. And they on their own homepage cite that this is a $3.7 trillion market. That is how they estimate that the LGBTQ plus market is a $3.7 trillion market. Jennifer Billick of the 11th Hour blog makes all kinds of associations of where this money is coming from, including Stryker Foundation, the Rothblatt Foundation, the Pritzker Foundation. Of course, the Pritzkers famously helped put the Clintons and Obama and Biden into office. And all three of these have, you know, Jennifer Pritzker is a man
Yeah.
claiming to be a woman. Martine Rothblatt is
A
a man,
colonel, actually, yeah.
yeah, claiming to be a woman. So all of
So I don't want to run out of time with you. I got a little less than 5 minutes. Sorry to interrupt that one. But people used to joke about the patriarchy, right? Which used to be the feminist main complaint. These men telling us what to do, mansplaining. But now we see like Dylan Mulvaney taking roles from females to sell female products. We see Leah Thomas and all the other male athletes bumping girls from their top of their sports. Where are the feminists that used to be so active for women's rights and the ERA in theory? We had Joey Bright on here. She sees the erasing of gay women taking place. How do we put the genie back in the bottle?
Well, I think it's gonna take more than the feminists. I mean, I mean, I'm in connection with a lot of women who call themselves radical feminists who differentiate themselves from liberal feminism. But you're right. I mean, Dylan Mulvaney, Leah Thomas, this is male entitlement. This is male entitlement to access female bodies, female spaces, female awards, female opportunities. So this is a male boundary violation movement. And I do think an accurate question is, where are women? Now, women are speaking up, as you know, I've documented on my YouTube. We've done over 40 protests, you know, in the last couple of years. And this is just in the United States, not including all of the ones that Kelly J. Keene is doing in the UK, not including I sit on a board with for the Women's Declaration International. There are women from six continents and 137 countries organizing and fighting this in their home country. So women are doing things, but we are constantly silenced. But it is not just going to be women who are going to break us out of this, or feminists, or one group. It is going to take all thinking humans. And that's why I love meeting people like you, because, you know, say I still called myself on the left. I don't really, but we need everyone. This is a nonpartisan issue. This is a non-religious issue. You know, I need to meet with Christians. I need to meet with people of other religions. I need to meet. We all need to come together to fight this tyranny that's coming, being pushed down on us from the corporate state.
That's well said. I wanted to ask you about this real quick, and then I'll ask you where people can go to find. I also wanted to know about your classes, but I don't think we're gonna have time. Well, we could. Why don't we just do that? Tell us about intuition, imagination, and internal authority, and women who run with wolves.
Yeah, okay. So the intuition and imagination course is an authority building course, and it's really you know, I use a lot of the techniques from theater and kind of pair them with my background in psychology just to help you develop your intuition. So to sort of sense into it. You know, a lot of people think that when I say the word intuition, I'm talking about something like new age and woo, but I'm actually talking about a really practical, developable skill set. And this is a skill set that is primary to safeguarding and internal authority. We're in a culture where they want us to constantly externalize authority, seek external validation, seek attributes, you know, get those likes on social media. And to be in integrity with ourselves, we need internal authority. And listening to your own intuition is one way to get there. It's not the only way. But I think it's a really good skill set that we all need to have. So that class has some text, you know, I'll give some readings and I'll do some lecturing, but it actually has practical activities. So women can practice different activities in a group that help develop that skill. And Women Who Run With the Wolves, that's a book. It's a great women's book. You should read it just as a book, but the course covers that book. And the book is all kinds of different women's myths and stories from all over the globe. Just like at the beginning of this show, I was talking about the Little Red Riding Hood story. It's archetypal. You know, it's a lesson through images that transcends time. You know, it's not literal. So these stories in Women That Run With the Wolves, what's great is they're really accessible because they're stories. But again, going through this as a community and doing activities around it, again, it's about building these skills and listening to yourself. And my goal is to my goal is really to build resiliency against the ideology that we are seeing today. And these courses are one way. It's not the only way, but it is one way that can be done.
Yeah. Well, just watching your video online would do probably a mile's worth of work on that. And I still can't believe that, you know, when people come to you, obviously they're enlightened. They want to learn. They want to open their mind and figure out how do we push back against something that we don't understand, like learning. But yet the NCAA, the University of Georgia, all the coaches, the administrators, the security guards, the other girls who were swimmers, the grown men in the ladies' locker rooms, Riley Gaines, you know, nobody stopped it. Parents, police, the mayor, they just let it go off. And that just empowers this problem. I'm really sad that we are at the end here, but I so much appreciate you and all the work that you do and for sharing it so eloquently and boldly, really. We are the end here. So tell everyone where they can go find out more about you and follow your social media. You are very, very funny on Twitter.
Thank you. My Twitter handle is @knownheretic. That is also my handle on my YouTube channel. I have a bunch of educational videos up there. I also have a bunch of protests and testimony in state and city legislature. I'm also on Instagram as @knownheretic, and my website is Little Red Reverberations, and that's Little Red as in Little Red Riding Hood, and Reverberations as in these intimate things that we do in a small group. They have the power to reverberate. We don't know how far they reverberate because courage calls to courage. So you can find me at Little Red Reverberations. Oh, and you can find me at theknownheretic.com for my Substack if you want to read my long form essays that kind of go into how phenomenology fits into all of this and how our sense perceptions are so important. You can check out my essays there.
All right. We'll put that all in show notes in case somebody's driving and couldn't write it down because they are must reads. Well, thanks again for coming on with us. I hope to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Harvey Durham Health Insurance Agency is the trusted independent health insurance agency that you can depend on for all your health insurance coverage needs. He's great because he doesn't look at health insurance as sales. He looks at it as helping people and doing the best he can to solve your current long-term care, disability, and Medicare supplement needs, even pets. I know, I'm a client, and so is my lab, Caroline. Over 30 years of insurance experience behind every policy, give Harvey a call at 731-727-9242 or email him at harveydurham@harveydurham.com and tell him Steve and Steve at Mill Creek View sent you.
I don't understand how you ever did without me.
Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what'd you think of our guest, Amy Souza?
Another warrior. And you know what? She, at the end there, made a very, very big point. You and I, our listeners, and everybody else needs to get on the board. Get on board to fight this, because everybody works within corporations, and those corporations are, they're cancerous. They're all this ideology is being pushed there. If enough people within a corporation said, F you, we'll walk off the job, they would shut it down tomorrow and they would quit doing it. It's just that we saw that with a COVID, Steve. More people said, no, we're going to go along with it. And I think that was the test bed. Once they go, look at how 80% went with it, we've got this in the bag. We have to rise up.
Yeah. No, the other side plays on that, knowing full well that they've got us right where they want us, most of us at least. But yep. Isn't it ironic that Amy was on Dory Monson's show 3 days before I was? And if it wasn't for the Dory Monson show, I wouldn't be talking on this microphone right now to you. So that whole thing just ties right in with our 100th episode. So producer Steve, you saved me a lot of time and work today since I didn't have to write a Steve and Steve segment. What do you have for us today on our 100th episode?
Hi, Steve. This is Anna.
And this is Nicole.
Of the Flame Newspaper Podcast and TV Network, we want to thank you for spreading the truth like wildfire and congratulate you on reaching 100 episodes. God bless. We love you. Woohoo!
Woohoo! We do love you.
Well, last week's check.
Welcome to the new Steve and Steve segment of our show. Producer Steve and I are going to talk about what we just heard and something I have on my mind, where we cover the latest happenings and issues of our day. So, pretty great interview, don't you think, Steve?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. This guy knows his stuff. And Steve, it's like two peas in a pod, you and Gary. I mean, I think having you there in Tennessee and having him, and he launched in January and you launched this year as well. I think I find that's very cool, don't you?
It is, because, you know, I know where they went off the rails in Washington, where you sit, and now I'm looking at it from the perspective here, and Gary certainly is the one advocating for the, you know, pro-America patriotic thing. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about the governor here versus the governor there.
Hello, everyone. Benny Smith, longtime election integrity advocate, former Shelby County Elections Commissioner, and now State of Tennessee Election Commissioner, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View Tennessee Podcast.
Hi, I'm Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scarmetti, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View Podcast.
Okay, this is Todd and Jesse Camp, and we are formerly management of Donaldson Bowling Center, Nashville's oldest lanes, and you are listening to the Mill Creek View Tennessee Podcast.
I am now here with Weston Martinez from Texas.
If you live in Tennessee or the surrounding 49 other states, follow this program, because when I talk about it's not Republicans and Democrats, it's patriots versus traitors, this is the patriot side of things. So God bless you and God bless this program. If you want to save our country, you better follow these guys.
Thank you, Mill Creek View Tennessee Podcast.
Hello, I'm Alveda King and you're listening to Mill Creek View Podcast.
Spread that out over a 10-year period, it's $140 million a year.
We're going to stop the next pandemic. If you give us a couple of billion dollars, we'll fix it.
Still a lot. But how much does an outbreak of one of these new unknown viruses cost?
The hype and concern is real enough to drive huge amounts of money for that issue.
Peter Daszak.
You get a figure of something between $10 and $50 billion for one single outbreak. Absolutely mind-boggling. Some of these viruses will
talk
be...
Talk about a guy with demons.
Some of them work. How do we work
demons,
that out?
Demons!
So these things cost so much, if we wait for them to emerge, you create pseudoparticles, you insert the spike proteins from those viruses, see if they bind to human cells. It's really difficult to count every time, but they don't particularly want to come out and say hello. So you narrow down the field, you reduce the cost, and you end up with a small number of viruses that really do look like killers. And let's save ourselves some money.
Our work is used in developing vaccines and drugs to save American lives and lives of people around the world. So that matters a lot. You know, we talk about global health security. I mean, that's a great sell.
I think all of this is positive and great. And I think we will crack this pandemic problem.
We are the front line of preventing the next pandemic, and we need to get on with our jobs.
Great sell. Steve, did you hear soul or conscience in that dude?
I think we're talking about somebody who believes in a mechanistic universe without spirit, without God, and that it's okay to manipulate anything, the bad bugs, the good bugs. If we can make some profit, Steve, and when he said remdesivir, that's what killed people when they were put in the hospital. They used remdesivir. You have to do some research, folks, on that one.
That clip was featuring grifting, hubris, lying, ferret badgers, civets, rabbits, and the quote, "I think all of this is positive and great." What it wasn't featuring, in my opinion, was shame, humility, any benefit from this work so far, and pandemic prevention. Peter Daszak. Remember that name, folks. I knew if I wore the Deadpool shirt, all hell would break loose today. But okay, we're due. We've had a lot of serious shows, so okay.
Hi, this is Senator Jack Johnson. You're listening to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast.
Hey there, it's Pamela Furr. I'm with WTN in Nashville, Tennessee. You're listening to the Mill Creek View podcast.
I'm Dan McCaleb, executive editor of the Center Square Newswire service. You're listening to us on the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast.
Awesome. Hi, I'm Jackson Elliott with the Epoch Times, and I'm glad to be here today on the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast.
I'm Landon Starbuck, the founder of Freedom Forever, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View podcast.
Hi, I'm Steve Friend, senior fellow at the Center for Renewing America and former FBI agent and whistleblower, and you are listening to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast.
Hey, it's Dan Mandis from Super Talk 99.7 WTN. And I appreciate being here on the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast.
My name is Simon Ateba with Today News Africa in Washington, D.C. I'm the White House correspondent for Today News Africa, and you are listening to the Mill Creek View podcast.
Today, we are talking with ourselves. Steve Abramowitz is the host of the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast, and Steve Johann is the producer of the Mill Creek View podcast, both Tennessee and Washington. Producer Steve, how are you today?
I am doing good. And speaking of Washington, not the people in Tennessee are going to matter, but about this.
Oh, they matter.
I mean, matter, but care about the fact that I'm working with two different teams of podcasters up here, and we're starting to build a little bit of a library taking over where you left off, Steve. So it's pretty exciting. We've got Vincent Tyson. And then we got Lewis, and they're all different individuals, and it's been fun. And
Lewis Torres is the rock and roll realtor in Mill Creek, Washington, for Remax, and he does the show. And then we have Vincent Cavallari, city council member of Mill Creek, and his protege Tyson, and they do a show. They just did one yesterday. I listened to it. Sam Lowe,
soon to be
county
mayor,
commissioner, and he was on there. Also a state representative,
who's
doing
be mayor?
Two jobs at once. Vincent, great show. And we're working towards some other states, Florida, Kentucky, and whatever.
He's knocking out of the park on his show.
Very exciting future for the Mill Creek View as we approach our 100th show at the end of this month. So we didn't want to skip this one, even though our guest had something else going on. So here we are to talk to all of you about us. So, Steve, tell everybody your background. They may not even know. They only hear you laughing in once in a while when I make a hilarious joke. But tell everybody for a second, you know, how you got here.
Well, I started, I always wanted to be in radio. It was kind of a little idea in my head that in 1980, when I got my first real job in the white-collar industry world of electronics, and I was an electronic draftsman, so I would sit in my cubby hole doing drafting, schematics, and all that good stuff. And I got a little radio. I put it in my office and started listening to talk radio. It's the first time I ever started listening to talk radio. And I discovered some really wonderful individuals in the Seattle area. Dr. Jennifer Daniels, I think her name was. She used to do the dream therapy gal, and then Mark Savin, and then several others.
Jim
and
Altoff,
they were just
the
rounded. They didn't just deal with politics, but they dealt with a lot of things. So I just listened to that for years and years, and then, of course, moved into the political talk radio stuff. But by 2006, I had got the itch and said, I want to rent my own airtime or go on air and do a show called Sacred Rock Radio, which is covering four decades of Christian rock radio or music, and I had my own show. I rented airtime, and in the midst of that, I decided I didn't want to spend any more money, and I had joined forces with a guy I met through this that had 24/7 rock station feed online, and so I started marketing that like the Jack FM. This was about just around the area that Jack FM launched, and I said, hey, we got a platform. So I contacted all the big Cumulus and all these guys and started pitching the format as a computerized format. And that I failed to get a sale, but in the meantime, I said, well, we need to start doing our own production of our own shows so that we can do advertising in there and not conflict with it, because we're on air, on streaming. Cool. And ultimately, that launched my first podcast in 2007 about motorcycling, and did that with a host and myself. And then we did that for 10 years.
And not only one of the first people to stream radio
yeah, let's go
live,
back.
But
in
also
2006, I actually hooked up with a streaming company, and we hooked it up to the radio station. And I was one of the first people in Seattle to literally stream live online over the internet while the show was going. And so right. I'm not big and famous, but I did a lot of firsts.
But you have written two books, one on the subject that we're talking about now, and then one more on your worldly experience, which we did a whole show on, so people can go back and check out that. But that's, you know, you're the real deal, man. People don't know because they're looking at me all of a sudden, but you are real. So thank you for all you've done to get us to this point. Yeah.
Steve, congratulations on your 100th episode. From everyone here at the Tennessee Conservative News, this is Brandon Lewis saying, keep up the good work. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Hey guys, this is Riley Gaines, a recent graduate from the University of Kentucky, where I was a part of the swim team. I'm a 5-time SEC champion, 12-time NCAA All-American, and you're watching the Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast.
I don't understand how you ever did without me.
Got more.
How we got here. So I just want to do a little segment. Everyone always asks me, like, why are you so against this person? What's so bad? Well, let's take a listen.
Where's the education pieces here? Where's the education pieces here? Climate change. If we actually stop these extreme weather events, look at what's happening in Kentucky right now. Look at what's happening in California right now. We then give a future to our kids. This is a bill that's going to solve the issues that keep people up at night. Thank you very much.
So first of all, I don't know why she's screaming. That just sounds
shrill.
Oh, she's
jumping up and down and just... Come on, get that dance on there, Steve.
Hi, I'm Amy Coelho with Paul Davis and Associates Law Firm and Frontline Lawyers USA. You are now listening to Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast.
That was a good one.
I'm Cole Walker. I'm a UT Martin rodeo athlete collegiately, and this is Mill Creek View podcast.
This is Jody Barrett, state representative with the Tennessee House 69th District, and we're going to be on the Mill Creek View podcast.
This is Joseph Sempervivo. Thank you so much for tuning in to Mill Creek View Podcast.
This is Kyle Serafin, former FBI special agent, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View Tennessee Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I'm Lee Greenwood, and this is Mill Creek View Podcast, and we're here at John Rich's house.
This is Mike Hebert from Public Square, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View Podcast.
Hi, my name is Joey Bright, and you're listening to the Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast.
Hey, folks, I'm John Rich, and you're listening to Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast. Tune in soon and tune in often. God bless you.
Yes.
Hey, this is Matt Murphy with Supertalk 99.7 WTN, and you're listening to Steve on the Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast.
I'm James.
I'm Matt. And I'm Ginger Stocky.
And we're watching the Mill Creek View Tennessee podcast. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve-O, this is your good old friend, Vincent Cavalieri, brother.
The word on the street is that you have hit the century mark with shows, and just calling to say how proud I am of you. You truly understand what it takes to pull this off, and proud of you is an understatement. So congrats to having the chutzpah to pull this off and really the wherewithal to do it well. I wish you all the blessings for 100 more, brother. Take care.
Wow.
Okay. You gotta trim back those monologues, Steve. Bring them back about 15 minutes for me, please.
Okay.
I think you like listening to yourself just read things, so.
I don't. I just have all this news, but okay. I'll start editing down. I agree. They're going too long.
Yep.
Best wishes for your loss, or sorry for your loss.
Yeah, everything's fine. Dad's home with the Lord. We've been waiting for this I've been waiting for it for a few months, and everything's okay. Now it's just all the paperwork and all that good stuff. So I'm heading over to Squim to start all that. So anyway.
Okay. Have a restful weekend.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say what's wrong, my longtime friend. Something's bothering you. Tell me what the problem is. I'll see what I can do. There are times we disagree. We agree more than we don't. We won't always see eye to eye, but we will more than we want. We got friendship, the kind that lasts a lifetime. Through all the hardship, you know you're a friend of mine. Yeah, we got friendship, the kind that lasts a lifetime. Through all the hardship, you know you're a friend of mine.
Well, what'd you think, Steve?
That is impressive. That is a trip down memory lane, which wasn't all that long ago, but it feels like a long time ago. I don't know if people understand how hard it is to put on a podcast. It always just seems like having a phone call with your best friend all the time, but it is a labor of love, and we don't even get paid for this. So,
no. Well,
you do, but I don't. So, thank you for putting those endorsements out there or whatever promos and getting Vincent on the phone, and that felt really good. Thank you very, very much.
You bet. Well, I'm gonna let you go off. We're gonna end off here, and we're gonna come back with your thought of the day.
Stay tuned for my quotes of the day. If you have a beloved horse that you love like a family member and it's on its last legs, you need to call Edward at Tennessee Horse Cremation. He's got the only custom trailer around and never has to drag a horse. He's compassionate and will help make a difficult situation a little bit easier. Call and ask questions anytime. He's available 7 days a week. 931-300-2333. Serving Tennessee as well as portions of Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. TN Horse Cremation. Welcome to my final quotes for the week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast for the next 100 episodes that you don't want to miss. Just go to Spotify or iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast and Rumble and hit the subscribe button. While you're there, leave us a comment and you might find yourself in the 200th anniversary. Women and cats will do as they please, and men and dogs should relax and get used to the idea. Robert A. Heinlein, great sci-fi writer. A lady's imagination is very rapid. It jumps from admiration to love, from love to matrimony in a moment. Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. There are no good girls gone wrong, just bad girls found out. Mae West. Here's all you have to know about men and women. Women are crazy, men are stupid. And the main reason women are crazy is that men are stupid. George Carlin, when will Jesus bring the pork chops? As usual, there is a great woman behind every idiot, John Lennon. That's it for this episode. That's it for the first 100. Really hoped you liked them. Thank you, Amy Souza, for reminding us And I hope the forces of good listen this time, that a woman is a woman. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, Editor-in-Chief, mcview.us. Peace in our time.
County Fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like rolling thunder.
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.